Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program today. Our speaker, Thurman Scrivener, is the senior pastor at the Living Savior Ministries. He is going to be teaching today the principles from God's Word on how to get healed and how to stay healed. We join today's message, Soften My Heart and Make Me More Like Jesus, already in progress.
When you don't answer prayer, what's the problem? Is it God? No, it's you. It's me. We're not obeying what he says. So the minute he got back into driving the speed limit, then when he asked God for something, bam, his answer was there. Isn't that amazing? Wow, it's so simple. God made it so simple. Obey me. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, the cross. See, the thing about the cross, when God gave man the earth, he gave him dominion and power and authority and everything over the earth. And then man let Satan talk him out of it. And he sinned, and he transferred his allegiance and his authority from God to the devil. Now the devil became the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air of this world. He's in charge. Now then, to get that back, since every man is a sinner, can any man ever pay the price to get the earth back? No, the man has got to be perfect with no sin in his life. Well, the only way to do that is to get another man from God that has no sin in his life, and that man comes to the earth, and that man, he lives under the law, by the law, for 33 years, just like everybody else, except with him, Satan was never able to get Jesus to sin. That's why the scripture says if Satan had only known what he was doing, he would never have crucified the Lord of glory. But he didn't know what he was doing. I'll tell you what he thought. When he took him all the way to the cross and he done everything he can do to get him to get out of a relationship with his Heavenly Father and he can't do it, he said, that's it. We've taken him this far. I can't get him to sin. So I'm going to kill him anyway. Y'all just go ahead, demons, and kill him. Drive them men nuts to drive him to that cross and kill Jesus. And then we'll take him to hell. And they did. They killed him. They took him to hell. But death couldn't hold him because there was no sin in him. Even death couldn't hold the master. Well, praise God. I can just see it now. I can see Satan now sitting there with his foot on Jesus saying, I've got you now. You might not have ever sinned, but I got you. I killed you. You're dead and you're in hell right now. And the Father says, no, that's it. He didn't sin. That's right, he didn't. And he says, well, rise from the dead. And I can just see Jesus stand up and reach up and grab him by the nape of the neck and pick him up off the floor and say, now, Satan, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Yes. And you're going to be subject to me. Yes. And then he left. And when he left, he come back from that place. He walked into up there on the earth again where the men's breathing. He said, now I'm going to do a demonstration of the Spirit's power better than anything I've ever done. I'm going to rise from the dead. I'm going to take all those Old Testament saints that were looking for my rising from the dead, and I'm going to resurrect them from the dead. And all the old, there's already been a one rapture, hasn't there? All the Old Testament saints that were walking obedience looking for God, he says, come forth from the grave. And Matthew 28:52, I believe it is, or 27:52, says that after Jesus' resurrection, the Old Testament saints were called forth from the dead, and they walked in obedience to his word, and they walked in the streets of Jerusalem, and they were alive. Can you imagine that scene? And then still, they're trying to convince us that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. How could men be so stupid? I just don't understand how he can be so stupid. But it says there that Satan was that stupid because it said if Satan had have known what he was doing. See, Genesis 9:6 clearly says that if a man takes an innocent man's life, his blood should be required of him. So when Satan, which wasn't, see, all those other people he killed, that was okay because they were his. You can do with your own what you want to do, right? So if you were a child of the devil and the devil said, well, I've used Scott as long as I want him now, I'll just kill him. And if you were a child of the devil, you didn't have no recourse. You didn't belong to God. You belonged to the devil. And so he just killed you and no problem. No problem. You can't do nothing to him because you belong to him. But now then, when it comes to Jesus, he didn't belong to him. He had no sin in his life. So when Satan killed him without having legal claim to him, he now destroyed himself. By this, it's all written in the book of Hebrews. That study is an awesome study in the book of Hebrews about all this and how it all works. Verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. That's the hardest thing in the world for us to realize that we are free in Christ. It is just absolutely mind-blowing when Paul tried to tell us over and over and over, in Christ you are totally, completely free. You can do anything the Holy Spirit tells you to do, you can do it. When you start to do something, when you think of doing something, if you're a son of God, I know Steve has experienced this several times in his life. Anytime he starts to do something that doesn't line up with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, Steve, don't do that. Is that right, Steve? If you don't get nothing from God, you know what you're fixing to do. It's totally within His will. If there's nothing there, He knows that you're going to be okay. You're His son. Well, yeah. But if He says, now, Steve, don't do that. If you hear that little nudge in there said, don't do that, you better listen. You better be listening. Because if you're listening, you're led by the Spirit of God. He's fixing to tell you you're fixing to do something that's not free for you. Or something that may be free, but it might create a problem. So He's telling you, don't do that. There's a consequence to that if you do that. Don't do it. It's amazing to be led by the Spirit. Thank God for the Spirit. How many of you in this room have heard the Spirit tell you one time or another in your life, somehow, maybe audibly, maybe just by a thought or what, but all of you that are Christians have had the Holy Spirit tell you somewhere what you're fixing to do is not right. How many of us have had that? Boy, that's just about everybody. Yeah. So if you... That's it. That's absolutely right, Franz. A lot of us call that conscious. But it's still the Spirit of the living God. But conscious is a good word to put in there. Conscious tells you, don't do this. If the conscience says don't do it, let me tell you, that's the Spirit of the living God. And He's telling you, as a child of God, don't do that. So if I want to have the Sabbath on Monday, is it okay for me to have the Sabbath on Monday? Is it okay if I want to have the Sabbath on Tuesday? How about Friday? Saturday? Can I enjoy the Sabbath 7 days a week if I want to? What if I don't want to do nothing? I just want to lay down and drink soda pop and eat chewing gum or chewing gum or whatever. Can I do that? Sure, I'm free. If I want to eat, in fact, I got so tickled. I guess I shouldn't tell this on my wife. But you know, when Peggy told us not to drink Dr. Peppers, we quit. I quit. My wife told me, I made a statement in church one day about we quit. She said, well, honey, I've had two or three. I didn't tell you about it. But last night we were at Caitlin's party, and Cheryl said, I think I'm free. I'm going to have a Dr. Pepper. I hadn't had one in a long time. They had Dr. Pepper. So somebody brought her a Dr. Pepper, and she took a few swallows of it and set it off to the side. And on the way home, she said, you know, that Dr. Pepper, I only drank about a quarter of the can. And she said, it didn't taste good at all. Now, why do you think the Lord did that to her? Because He knows really that's not really that good for her, so He made it taste not well, so she didn't drink hardly none of it. Isn't that amazing? How God, that's just another way God works. And you know, but He can do the same. I've had Him do the same thing with me many times. That's verse 17. Let's see what verse 17 says. Christ is a shadow of the things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now let's go to chapter 3. Let's go to chapter 3, verse 1, and let's read a few verses in chapter 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Now, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be seeking those things that are of a God. If you're risen with Christ, in other words, if you've been baptized and you've been risen with Christ, you've been put down under the water and you come forth, If you be risen with Christ, then you're supposed to seek those things which are above. You're not supposed to seek the things of the world, but you're supposed to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Does he sit at the right hand of God all the time? Yes, he does. Now then, if you become an overcomer, the scripture says you're going to get to sit by his right hand. Wow. I can't even imagine that. But would that be a wonderful place to get to sit for throughout eternity when it's time to come home? Wow. Let's see what verse 2 says. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. Set your affections on things above. Things of the, not of the earth, but of above. If you want to do something, put God first. Put God first. And so from that day forward, I did start putting God first, slowly but surely, but I'm working into it. And my mother and dad especially, he gave me some advice, you know, that if I'd have put God a little bit more into this instead of all myself, because I'm telling Dad all the time, Dad, I'm going to make that new car. I'm going to have that nice car. It's all about me. Not one time did I say anything about God. And of course, Dad picked up on that real quick. Son, you need to give God the glory, you know, for your nice car. I said, but Dad, I'm working. I'm the one who's going to do this. It's going to be me, not God. You know, you can't realize how dumb and stupid you can be. But you can be dumb and stupid, can you not? Wow. So the Lord says right there, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now then, if we do all those things that we just talked about there, even as Christians, if we do those things, the wrath of God will come upon the children of disobedience. So if you're a child of God and you're a disobedient child of God, all of these devastating things will come upon you and they will afflict you. Verse 7, you have a choice. Anger, wrath, you can get mad or you can get glad, can't you? In fact, let's see what verse 8 says in the NLT. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Who's supposed to get rid of all that? You are.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety titled, Soften My Heart and Make Me More Like Jesus, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website, www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.